The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message.
CHP, that's Calvary Highway Patrol, Faith Forensics Unit Briefing. We've got a hot one here for sure. CHP Homicide Unit officers are here to speak to us today regarding this crime. And I want to introduce you to them. We got Officer Mitchum.
Yo.
We got Officer Crandall.
Present.
We got Officer Wozniak.
Here, Sarge.
And Officer DuPaul.
Obviously.
Okay, you all know the skinny on this great big mess. Presumed innocent man crucified on Mount Calvary, Jesus of Nazareth.
Hey, Sarge, ain't that the guy that everybody seemed to love? Healing people, casting out demons, a real righteous cat, you know?
Correction, Crandall. Most everyone loved him. Certainly a good guy for sure, and please don't interrupt me again. I mean, how can you eat, Crandall, during meetings like this? Looking at all these pictures. Goodness.
Sorry, Sarge. Homicide makes me hungry. I'll clam up now.
Thanks, Crandall. We'd all appreciate it. The tragedy just continues. Now the tomb where his body was placed was discovered empty.
Empty? Come on, are you off your tree? I mean, dead bodies don't just get up and split.
Well, that would be part of the issue, wouldn't it, Wozniak? The body is missing.
I want to nail these turkeys, Sarge. Oops. Maybe I should say I want to bust these guys.
Thanks, Mitchum. Let's keep it PC, would ya? Now, that should bring us up to speed on what we know at this time. And now I am all ears. I've asked each of you to present evidence regarding possible suspects in the death of this beloved man who could very well have been the Messiah. I mean, they don't come any cleaner than this guy. We'll begin with Officer DuPaul.
Thank you, Sarge. The first suspects I'd like to present to you were two of Jesus' closest associates. Judas Iscariot will lead it off. We have credible proof that he sold Jesus out to the high priest with these silver coins.
Good. Let's bust him.
Unfortunately, we can't ask him, because he's dead. Hung himself, we think. Here's the rope we found, firmly tied around his neck. It was, messy. His body's down at the morgue if you'd care to see it.
Duly noted, DePaul. Proceed.
There's also Simon Peter, another close associate, abandoned Jesus, denying he ever knew him. I found out Jesus was onto him. He told him he would deny him before the rooster crowed. We have audio of the rooster, sir.
Proof positive. Let's bust him and bring the rooster too.
No one seems to know where Peter's at the moment. We're working on it.
Thanks, DuPaul. Sounds fishy to me. Let's bust Peter ASAP. Probably we'll find him down by the docks. We might need to send a boat, you know. Let's get the picture of his mug out on all the usual platforms. Officer Mitchum, what do you have? Anything we can actually use?
Thanks, Sarge. I have verifiable evidence that the high priest Caiaphas, along with many other religious leaders, hated Jesus and wanted him dead because of jealousy. They wanted to control the people, the power, and the money.
Hard to sell the judge on conspiracy theories, Mitchum.
I call it instinct, Sarge. Okay, then. They couldn't see past their own man-made traditions. They even pressed Governor Pilate to release Barabbas, an actual murderer, and to crucify Jesus in his place. Those bullies beat him, even ripped much of his beard out of his face. An insider was able to collect samples of the hair off the bloody stone floor of the high priest's house. Can you believe the self-righteous gall of these punks?
Well done, Officer Mitchum. Let's bust Caiaphas. Get him in for questioning before the next Sabbath. Wozniak, you have the floor.
Thanks, Sarge. Two public figures also played roles in this deadly monstrosity. Governor Pilate, as Mitchum mentioned, can't be left off the hook since he didn't let Jesus off the hook. This turkey even acknowledged Jesus was innocent. This joker let a few false witnesses and crazed leaders pressure him. He had him whipped brutally and released him to be crucified. Take a gander at this here evidence.
Mercy.
Oh, and Herod played a role, too. Jesus was taken before him, too. He found him innocent as well, but still had him mocked, beaten. They even jammed a crown of thorns on his head. We'll pass the crown around if anyone cares to touch it.
Thanks, Wozniak. It may be widely publicized, but we must bust them both this week. Got it? Crandall, are you finished eating so you can enlighten us?
Okay. Excuse me. Sure thing, Sarge. This may be a bit much for us to bear, so just hear me out, everyone.
Please get on with it, Crandall. I mean, how many more suspects could there possibly be?
So get this, sir. The entire world is guilty of the death of Jesus Christ.
I was out shoveling manure.
Yeah, I was on a date.
I was enjoying my afternoon tea.
Well, I was here working.
Now, wait a minute, guys. Hold everything. The entire world has been locked in sin since the Garden of Eden. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus, his son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. The sin of the world is what caused Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God. Everything, you see? We're all guilty.
Oh, come on, Crandall. That's crazy.
Crandall, I think you need to narrow your scope down a little bit, buddy.
Well, God save me and the Queen.
Crandall, you've come up with some wild stories before. But this is the most ridiculous, preposterous thing I've ever heard from you. Amazing thing is, I believe you. No, listen. I think Crandall is onto something big here, people. Bigger than we ever knew. We're all guilty. My sins, your sins. The sins of the whole world cost Jesus his life. We're all busted. You're busted, and you're busted, and you're busted, and you're busted. And I'm busted. Who's gonna cuff me? Huh? I'll go quietly.
Hang on now, Sarge. Nobody's busted. That's not the end of it. And I'm not finished if anybody else cares to listen.
Not the end of it? Where did you fall off the turnip truck? You'd better spill it right now, Crandall. I'll have your badge. Before I'm locked up, that is.
You won't need to, Sarge. You see, another one of Jesus' associates just contacted me this morning. This guy named Thomas. He has seen Jesus earlier today. He's alive, sir. That's why the tomb's empty. And Jesus himself released a statement I got from Tommy. I mean, that's what he likes to go by. Jesus said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All is forgiven, love one another, and follow me."
Crandall, that's the best news I think I've ever heard. The funny thing to me is that it came from you. Let's get out among them and share the good news. Dismissed. And I'd suggest that you all spread this great news, too. You don't need a badge to do that. Just please keep it under 55 out there.
Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All units responding, please acknowledge.
How many know the blood of Jesus speaks? And I said a couple weeks ago that the blood of every aborted baby speaks to God. Amen. This is serious stuff. Amen. And our foundation text is Hebrews 12:22-24, and it says this: But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Somebody say firstborn, right? Who are registered in heaven. Somebody say, that's me. If you're born again, then you are registered in heaven. And when our flight got canceled on Saturday, we had to get re-registered at the hotel right away before our rooms were gone. And thanks be to God, there was room for us. Amen. But if you're born again, then you are registered in heaven. You don't have to get up there and do cartwheels and show Gabriel your list of good deeds. You don't have to have your attorney with you. Somebody say, Jesus is my attorney. Amen. Why? Because the blood speaks. What does the blood say about you? It says you are saved, born again, if your faith is in him. Praise the Lord. If it's not, then you can put your faith in whatever you want to put it in. You can put your faith in the news. You can put your faith in yourself, or you can put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's where our faith needs to be. Amen. Every day. Somebody say every day, right? To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Somebody say, that's me. To Jesus. Now, Brother Jesse spent a lot of times talking about the difference between arrogance and confidence. Some people misinterpret, ministers or Christians that are confident in who they are in Christ Jesus. That's not arrogance, right? When you say, I am a just man or just woman made perfect, well, who made you perfect? Jesus. So therefore, you say what he says about you. Just like any good attorney would tell you, just say what I say or say nothing at all. Amen? So you just say what Jesus says. You're confident in your faith in him. Praise the Lord. Amen. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things. Somebody say better things than that of Abel. Praise the Lord. And you think about the first murder in the Bible. Many of you know in Genesis when Cain slit Abel's throat and his blood poured out on the ground. And God told Cain, where is your brother? Like he didn't know, right? He said, his blood is crying out to me. Well, what was it crying out? Guilty, right? Condemned, lost, messed up, right? So the blood of Jesus speaks better things than that. So what would that be? Forgiven, right? Free, delivered, healed. Somebody say, we just need to get lost in the blood of Jesus. Amen? And remember, that's what he's... Even if someone did receive an abortion, amen? There's forgiveness. Amen? You have somebody waiting for you on the other side. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord forevermore. And don't you know, even if somebody in Washington says something is okay and we'll make laws and rules and pass things to make what you're doing okay, somebody say, if it ain't in this book, it ain't okay. It might be legal, but it isn't right. Amen. Doesn't matter how many. Doesn't matter how many. Doesn't matter if all of them speak up and say, that's okay. We passed a law that says that's, we have congressmen and congresswomen that say that's okay, and we'll defend your right to do that. If it's not in this book, somebody say, repent. Repent of it. Amen. Vote those people out. Pray them saved or vote them out. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today we're going to look at this. The blood of Jesus says, I am forgiven. Now next week we're going to talk about several other things that the blood speaks on your behalf. But don't you know that stuff doesn't mean anything if, first and foremost, somebody say the blood says, I'm forgiven. Now, I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. Good news. Even if you committed itty bitty sins or great big sins, I've heard ministers, they were sharing, I think Jesse shared some about ministering on death row to people. It doesn't matter. There's no sin too big that the blood won't cleanse. Amen? Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. And that's what this is all about. Amen? Now, Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8, I'm going to read it like this. Here we go. Somebody say, ready, read. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the mother and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Why did they come to see the tomb? They were looking for a dead man, weren't they? Amen? So see, even the closest people, now we can't criticize them because we probably would have done no better. Amen? So they came to the tomb and behold, I love this. I chose this chapter because I like the power in this. Amen? You see different things in different chapters and things. But here we go. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Makes me think of Happy Days. Remember when Richie would say, sit on it, Potsy. Right? Sit on it, devil. You think you killed Jesus? Just sit on it. Amen? Bucko. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, his countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. Somebody say, he is risen. And he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. So, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Don't you tell me women don't belong in the ministry. The first people that got sent to preach the gospel were women. Amen. That people give Shelley a snarl and never come back to this church when she dared come up and speak. Are you kidding me? Good Lord Almighty. He is not here. He is risen. Come and see the place where he lay. Verse 7. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So what did they do? They went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Glory to God forevermore. Somebody say, he isn't here. He is risen. Stop looking for Jesus among the dead things. Stop looking for Jesus in the suffering. I've heard people say this week. One gal on the radio, she said, oh, it's Good Friday or whatever it is, you know. And, oh, my husband and I are dealing with these health problems, but, oh, we don't even want to compare it with what Jesus went through today. I don't even want to think about it. Well, guess what? You need to think about it. We need to think about what he did because it broke you through from what you're going through now. He suffered not so you could identify with his suffering. Amen. He suffered and bled and died to break you free from your suffering. Not just in the pie in the sky when we die, but down on the ground, like Pastor Huck says, when you're still around. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say he did it for me. Praise the Lord. Leviticus 16:14 says this. Don't you know this whole book, somebody say the whole book, is about him. It's all about Jesus. He completed and fulfilled everything in this book. Amen? So we have to be people that understand how to rightly divide the word. What in this book did Jesus complete on my behalf? What did he do as my example, as Keith Moore says? And what did he do as my substitute? Amen. Leviticus 16:14 says this. He shall take, this is the priest, right? He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side, and before the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Somebody say seven times, right? So we're talking here about the priests in the Old Testament would take the sacrificial bull on behalf of sin and sprinkle it in the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies in the temple of God seven times. Somebody say seven times. Seven is the symbolic word of completion. When Jesus did what he did, what did he say on the cross? It is finished. Amen? Don't you know Jesus can help you get over your bull? Anybody dealing with any bull in your life? Jesus can take the bull and break it off of you. No, somebody say, I'm living a bull-free life. Amen? But that blood, what did Jesus do when he ascended to the Father? He literally presented his blood before the Father. And it said, it is finished. No more need for bulls and lambs and pigeons and all this other stuff, because that was all symbolic and representative and prophetic of what Jesus was going to do. Somebody say, once and for all, for me. Amen? So he presented his own blood. Hebrews 9, verses 24 through 28 says this. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Somebody say, for me, right? Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. Verse 26, he then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, somebody say, but now. Well, you don't know the bull I'm going through. Well, what about now? The bull usually symbolizes the past. What about today? Somebody say, it's all about today. It's all about now. Now faith is, right? But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You understand how heavy that statement is? Put away sin? Who could do that? Somebody say he could. By himself, put away sin. Broke the power of sin off of the planet. Has anybody seen any sin around lately? I drove through New Orleans. Are you kidding me? Billboards. I had to tell the kids, just don't bother looking at the billboards as we're driving into the city, because, oh man, right? But guess what, devil? The power of sin has been broken. Sin has its eviction notice. Satan is trespassing on this planet. Our job is to repent of sin, call sin what it is, preach the gospel, amen, and call things that don't look like they are as they are, amen? Somebody say, but now. Jesus did this once and for all. Once and for all. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once. Somebody say once. Jesus doesn't have to keep dying for every single sin. He's a heavy hitter, man. One and done. Jesus defeated the devil in one swing. Somebody say one. That's the God you serve. That's the God you serve. That's why we like comeback stories and victories, right? Because that's in us. Jesus rose above it all, didn't he? To bear the sins of many. Somebody say, that includes me. That includes me, all my sins. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Glory to God. And that's what our past couple messages have been about. The blood says he's coming again. Praise the Lord. But remember this, church, you are, somebody say, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. Just lift your hands and thank the Lord. Just say, Lord, thank you that I'm forgiven. Thank you that I'm cleansed and washed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forgiveness means freedom. Somebody say, I'm free. It means pardoned. Somebody say, I've been pardoned. It means deliverance. Somebody say, I've been delivered. It means liberty. Somebody say, I got my liberty. It means remission. Remission. See, the blood of bulls would cover sin. The blood of Jesus washes it away. Praise the Lord God forevermore. Amen. That is the best news ever. It qualifies you, listen to this, it qualifies you for everything else he did for you. What? What possibly could be more than that? That's what some religion would say, right? Well, yeah, he did a lot more. That was the big one. Don't you know that was the big one? Amen. But there's more that he's done for you, and we're going to get into some of that next week. But Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. Don't ever belittle how serious sin is. Yeah, well, the grace of God. I can keep doing it. It's the grace of God. Well, yeah, the grace of God covers that. Well, no, the grace of God is not your MasterCard so you can keep sinning. No. The wages of sin is death. That's why he died. Somebody told me a few months back, well, Jesus didn't die spiritually, did he? If he wouldn't have, I would have had to. In every way a man could die, Jesus died. Amen. That was my sin. It's got to be that personal. My sin put him on the cross. Somebody say, but now. But now I've risen with him.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Life and Good reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.